الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد، في كتاب مكنون، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات الله محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Most Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, whose words cannot be described by any speaker, whose bounties cannot be numbered by any calculator. Allah's power, knowledge and wisdom cannot be described by any description. Even if you were to take all the trees in this world and make them into pens, and the oceans make them into ink, these will still not suffice to describe the knowledge, power and wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge is such that there is not a taint of ignorance, and His power is such that there is not a shade of weakness. And His knowledge and power is also unlike any other knowledge and power. Allah's mercy is because of His justice, and His justice is because of His mercy. And Allah is also such that there is not a thing in this universe that can either escape Him or frustrate Him. On that note, scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On the first day, just to recap where we have reached so far in our discussions to commemorate the martyrdom of our third Imam, Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, we talked about the concept of Imama in the Quran. The idea of that discussion, or rather my intent of introducing that discussion, was to show you the status of not only Al-Imam Al-Hussein, but the status of all the Imams. So that in the subsequent lectures, whenever I mention anything about the Imam, I want you all to put in your mind and to imagine the status Imam Al-Hussein is enjoying in the eyes of Allah. Okay? Now that was the foundation I was setting. And then on the second day, I introduce another concept from the Quran, and this is, by the way, this is nothing from my own innovation, nothing. It's all from the Quran, okay? It's the concept of wilaya, which is the concept of guardianship. Imama is leadership, and wilaya is guardianship. As I mentioned, guardianship is more general, and leadership is more particular. In other words, if guardianship did not exist, the leadership will not exist. And I proved to you in the past lectures that so long as there is a single believer existing on the earth, there is a need of this special guardianship. In short, guardianship is the managing the affairs of the believers on the earth. As God has promised, Allah has promised in the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur, right? God, Allah, is the wali of the believers, but God is also the wali of every human being. What is the difference between the two? That guardianship is general. This guardianship for the believers is particular. Now, having set the foundation, look how we can branch off from this foundation. And I'm going to now show you from the Quran why the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam took place. Now, you all know that there are many, many factors that were responsible for the uprising to take place. Number one, okay, the most common factor that everyone knows is that when Muawiyah ibn Sufyan died, his son Yazid took over the Khilafah. Okay? Even though Imam al-Hassan, the second Imam, signed a treaty with Muawiyah, and one of the clauses of the treaty was that when Muawiyah dies, the Khilafah will not go to anyone from his family, but he will go back to the Ahl al-Bayt. And Muawiyah did not honor it. Not only that, he told his people who were writing the will that do not honor it. Right after signing the treaty, he actually stepped on the treaty and he said, I'm not going to honor it. Can you imagine such a leader? And we are supposed to follow a just leader, right? Okay. So one of the factors for Imam Hussein's uprising is that Yazid, okay, the usurper of the mantle of Khilafah after the death of Muawiyah, wanted Imam al-Hussein to bear allegiance to him. And Imam Hussein, as you know, refused by saying, a man like me, meaning, remember, I mentioned this before, when Imam al-Hussein said, a man like me, what he meant is, I am the grandson of Rasulullah. And who is Rasulullah? See, if I say to you, Imam al-Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib is the grandson of Rasulullah, it's not a very light statement. By saying he's the grandson of Rasulullah, you have to ponder on who is Rasulullah. Okay? He is the one who was appointed by Allah as the last messenger for mankind, and not only that. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ. He is a messenger who is sent as a mercy for mankind. Brothers and sisters, if I were to discuss this verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ, it will not end. If I were to discuss this verse, the discussion can never end. Why? Because I can prove it to you from the Quran and from the discussion of this verse that had it not been for Muhammad, this universe would not have been created. Salawatullah Muhammad wa alihi. So when we say Hussein is the grandson of Rasulullah, and that is the reason why our Prophet said, Hussein numinni wa ana min al Hussein. So not a very light statement. Everyone heard this statement, brothers and sisters. Hussein numinni wa ana min al Hussein. Hussein is from me, and I am from Hussein. I want to ask you all a question. You know, one of the titles of Fatima al-Zahra was Ummi Abiha. Most of you know, right? What is the meaning of Ummi Abiha? Ahsan, the mother of the father. She is the daughter of the Prophet, but she has the title the mother of the father. So the companions asked Rasulullah, why is your daughter titled the mother of the father? You know what he replied? You want to hear this? He said, had it not been for Fatima, I would not have been created. Had it not been for Fatima, I would not have been created. That is why Allah gave her the title Ummi Abiha. And now here we are talking about Hussein, not only the grandson of Rasulullah, the daughter of Fatima. Had it not been for Fatima, our Prophet would not have been created. Can you imagine that? And people have amassed a huge army to fight the grandson of the Prophet. It's unbelievable. It's unimaginable. It's such a grave situation that it cannot be imagined. So that's one of the factors of the revolution of Imam Hussein. That Yazid is asking for the allegiance of Imam Hussein. That he should support, he should be loyal to his Khilafah. And Imam Hussein said, a man like me, the grandson of Rasulullah, not only that, the son of the daughter of the Prophet. Had it not been for Fatima, this universe would not have been created. That's one of the factors. The second factor, as we know, the people in Kufa, after they heard about the death of Muawiyah, they invited Imam Hussein to set up a governorship in Kufa. That's the other factor. And yet, there is a third factor, which is very, very important. Why I say it's important? Not only important, but significant. You know why? Because regardless whether Yazid had asked for allegiance or not, regardless whether the Kufans had invited Imam Hussein or not, the revolution would have taken place because of this factor. And this factor is mentioned in the book of Allah. But we cannot go straight into the verse. Okay? It's the verse I recited in the beginning. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Brothers and sisters, this verse, I'm telling you, it's an amazing verse. It not only applies to the revolution in Karbala, and mind well, when we are applying a verse, you know, since the first day, you have noticed that I have been referring to many, many verses. Sometimes I'm not only discussing the tafsir of the verse, but I'm trying to apply it. You know why? Because there is a principle in the Quran explained to us by the Ahlul Bayt. Why the Ahlul Bayt? Because the Prophet clearly said on the day of Ghadir, right? إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَإِطْرَةِ الْأَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ. This book can never be separated between... You cannot separate the book with the Ahlul Bayt. They are together. Meaning, we don't understand this book properly. The book has an interpretation. And Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. Listen to this. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verse number 78-79. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Question. Who are the purified ones? You know what the verse means? More surely, this is a glorious Qur'an. In a book which is hidden, meaning, it's an eloquent expression to imply that the Qur'an has its origin, which is the كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ. No one shall touch it, save those who are purified. La yamassuhu. Now, some people took this verse, and by the way, it is not wrong to take it this way, but that's just the first level of interpretation. As I mentioned, remembrance has many degrees, right? The first level of remembrance, tasbih. The highest level of remembrance, yesterday we talked about it, is rushing to obey Allah. You see how you step up from the lower level of remembrance, the highest level of remembrance, right? So, the first level of understanding of this verse is that this is a glorious Quran. It's Al-Quran Al-Kareem revealed by Allah. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Indeed, we have revealed this book, explaining therein everything. Okay? That's the first level. And say, لَا يَمَسُّ, meaning, as we all know, are we allowed to touch the Quran, the writings, the Arabic writings, without purifying ourselves, without doing the ablution? We are told not to, right? That's the first level. What is the second level of understanding? Look, let's open the curtain now. Let's draw the curtain and see what is behind the verse. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. The second level of understanding is that more surely this is a glorious Quran. It originated from the hidden book, metaphorical. The reality of the Quran is with Allah. None shall comprehend the reality save those whom Allah has purified. Who are they? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ أَنْكُمُ رِجْسَ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
See, do you want to go to the third level? We don't have the time. There is a fourth level and there's a fifth level. You see, this is an amazing Quran and we take it so lightly. By the way, one of the Imams said, talking about the Quran, because I wanted to emphasize more about the Quran in my lecture series and prayers, which I'm going to talk about, okay? But listen to this. One of the Imams said, whoever takes the book of Allah lightly, you know what I mean by lightly? This book is light, but I don't mean that way. Whoever takes the book of Allah lightly has considered Allah light. So whoever does not love the Quran does not love Allah. Whoever takes the book with its full value indeed has loved Allah. In other words, whoever takes the book lightly has not considered Allah to be great. And whoever takes the book to be great has automatically considered Allah to be great. Salawatullah Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Now, if we say Allahu Akbar, God is great, that means we are also saying the Quran is great. But we don't consider it great, because we don't read it. Action speaks louder than words. So we say, Allahu Akbar. You know what it means? It means the Quran, whatever came from Allah is great. Right? Although we don't say, Allah is the greatest of all things, because then we would assume He's one of the things, and He's the greatest of all those things. No. Allah is the greatest of all descriptions. And one of the things that came from Allah is the Quran, which is great. So if we consider this Quran to be light, we have not considered Allah to be great. So keep this in mind. It's very important. I'm going to emphasize. Now, let's look at this verse. Before we explain, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Remember when I mentioned about وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. First night, when I spoke here, to introduce the concept of imama. And remember when we tried Ibrahim with a difficult trial, and he succeeded, as we know. And then God promised Ibrahim, Allah promised Ibrahim to make him an imam for men. إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. What did Ibrahim say? قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. This imama, is it going to be bestowed on my progeny? قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِ. In other words, it's an affirmative that yes, from your progeny, it will be bestowed, but only to those who are just and not unjust. I'm not repeating the same discussion, just reminding you, to give you that foundation that we set. And now you see how we spring from this foundation to come to the significant factor of Imam Hussein's revolution. Okay, so that was the verse we discussed in the first night. Now, I also mentioned, I don't think in my lecture, but during the question and answer session, I say that Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, after building the Kaaba, they prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Rabbana waja'alna muslimayni lak. Make us submitting to you, to thee. And we said, during that discussion, I think during the question and answer session, that what Ibrahim alayhi salam was asking God was not to bestow to him the first level of submission. Because he was already asking Allah in the capacity as a prophet and a messenger, and probably already an imam. So he was already in a very high status. He's asking Allah to bestow upon him those higher level of Islam and iman. But he doesn't stop there. He says, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. He's not asking for that higher level of Islam and iman only for himself and Ismail alayhi salam, but he is saying to Allah, and also make a group from my progeny submissive to you. Now, I mentioned this last time. I said, whenever someone is asking Allah for submission, it doesn't mean it's the first level or the second level or the third level of Islam. Because the first level and the second level and the third level of Islam can be attained by the individual himself. But the higher level of Islam, you have to ask Allah to bestow upon you. So Ibrahim is saying, bestow this higher level of Islam to some of my progeny, meaning that these are not ordinary people. The group from his progeny are not going to be ordinary people. It is the same group which Ibrahim alayhi salam prays for that covenant of imama, as I mentioned. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. Is this covenant of imama going to be bestowed upon my progeny? Yes, it will be installed, so long as they are just. Now, Ibrahim is praying to Allah, make them submissive to you. In other words, give them that higher level of Islam, which an ordinary person cannot attain by himself. Even a good believer cannot attain by himself, let alone a person who is appointed by Allah like Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he is actually praying for that higher level of Islam to a certain group. Keep that in your mind, because we are springing now. Now, you all know, during the time of the Prophet's mission, Allah changed the Qibla from Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram, which is the present day, the Kaaba and the precincts of the Kaaba. The Qibla was changed, right? So, when the Qibla was changed, the people thought that if they were to face Qibla, they would be considered as righteous people. But Allah warns them, admonishes them. He says, don't think that facing the east or the west, okay, will make you righteous. There are certain conditions in order for you to become righteous. Give me a salawat. Okay? Now, during that time, the people were asking the Prophet, after the Qibla was came, he says that, you are a great messenger, Ya Rasulullah. Has this been foretold by the prior prophets? Has this been foretold by the prior prophets? And Rasulullah replies, he says, Ana, that is I, Ana Salatul Ibrahim alayhi salam. I am the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the verse comes down. He says, remember when Ibrahim said to Allah, our Lord, Rabbana, wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum, yatlu alayhim ayatika wa yu'allimuhumul kitab wal hikmah. Right? This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's saying now you paid attention to that group, right? There's going to be given imam. You see the structure we're building now from the prior discussions? It's a group that has been promised imamah. Not only that, it is a group that has been promised the higher level of Islam. Not only that, from among this group, Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying to Allah, raise from this group a messenger who is going to recite to them, to the people, your communication. Not only that, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, that means he will be given a message and he will be teaching them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and will teach them wisdom. And that is why Rasulullah said, I am the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that prayer was answered. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse number 2, which we recite. Salawat. Now, after the change of the Qibla, Allah reveals the following verse. This is very, very interesting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is only Surah Al-Baqarah, by the way, I'm referring to. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Very, very interesting verse. And thus we have made you, this is addressed to the Prophet now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus we have made you a justly medium balanced group, medium nation. A nation who is now not only believers who have been bestowed certain favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, Allah says, so that you may be witnesses over mankind. Witnesses over mankind. Remember a verse which we recited before? وَقُلْ لِأَمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ أَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَحْسَنُ. What does Allah say in that verse in Surah Al Imran, verse number I think 110? Allah says, no, Surah Al Tawbah, verse number 110. Allah says, and perform deeds. Soon your deeds will come to the messenger, to Allah, the messenger, and the believers. Why would the deeds go to the believers? Because they are already perfected. They will never make mistakes. Otherwise, their deeds will have to go to someone else. But our deeds are going to certain believers. Why? Because they are the witnesses over the deeds of the people. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So here Allah is saying that from among you, from among the people of the Prophet, there is a group whom Allah is calling as a medium nation. And the characteristics of this group of people who are termed as a medium nation is that they are given the authority to be witnesses over the deeds of the people. So these are not ordinary people. Now look at the verse I recited in the beginning. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You see how Quran is understood, brothers and sisters? You see how I arrived at that? You are the best nation. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. It's an amazing verse. Who are these people that Allah has raised from among the Muslims? Isn't this the same group Ibrahim alayhi salam is praying for imamah? Yes or no? Isn't this same group Ibrahim is saying to Allah, restore to them the higher level of Islam? Yes or no? Yes. Can you imagine? Isn't this the same group Allah says that we have made you a medium nation so that you are witnesses over mankind? Yes or no? Yes. Isn't it the same group where Allah says, soon your deeds will come to them? Yes or no? Yes. Who are they? This is the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salawat
Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, look at this verse again. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Stop there. You are the best nation raised among the people. Why they are considered the best nation? Ta'muruna bil wa tanhauna anil. Otherwise, they will not qualify to be called the best nation. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. If they did not possess the characteristics of enjoining good and forbidding evil, they would not be termed as the best nation. This is the reason why, brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein, even if Yazid had not asked for his allegiance, even if the Kufans had not invited him, it was his duty because he is considered as kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. It was his duty to rise and say that a time has come when people are enjoining evil and forbidding good. He being the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to rise and enjoin good and forbid evil. In other words, to remind the people about the great religion of Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to them. And what people are doing is they are trying to extinguish the light of Islam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. From the Quran, Imam Hussein was acting based on this verse and one more verse. No, many verses. But we don't have the time. Tomorrow, we will talk about the other verse. But I want to mention something. You know, in Ziyarah Ashura, we say, As-salamu alayka ya Tharallah wabna Thari. If you understood the meaning of this statement in Ziyarah Ashura, you will be amazed. Literally, Thar in Arabic is blood. I don't like the way it is translated, because the way it is translated in some books does not do justice to this statement. Now let me tell you what the translation is. Oh, peace be upon you, the blood of Allah and the son of the blood of Allah. Literally, translation. Now, we know that we cannot say blood of Allah. It's metaphorical. I'm just showing you the literal meaning of As-salamu alayka ya Tharallah. But we cannot say that we are talking about blood, because Allah is absolute. He's not a person. We know that, right? So what is the meaning of the blood of Allah? You see, in the battle of Badr, after the Muslims won the battle, Allah reveals a verse to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Wa ma ramayta idh ramayta walakinna Allah rama. Look, brother Jawad, you are blessed in this community. There are people here who know the Quran verbatim. I am so happy. I don't get this response elsewhere. MashaAllah, salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. You must have done something great. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You know what's the meaning? We know when the Prophet and his believers were throwing arrows at the enemies, the Quraysh, the disbelievers from Mecca, the Allah is saying, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet, you didn't throw the arrows at them. I did. Allah did. This is the meaning of the blood of Allah. In other words, whatever the Prophet did, whatever the Prophet said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ الْأَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ. See? Whatever the Prophet said, whatever the Prophet did, it was not by his own whims and desires and wishes. It was Allah. So when the Prophet was raising his hand, it was Allah who was raising his hand, metaphorically. Don't misunderstand me. When the Prophet was throwing the arrow, when the Prophet was giving the command, it was Allah who was giving the command. Man kuntum maulahu, fahada aliyun maulahu. Who was saying that? Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Why? وَمَا يَنْتِكُ لَأَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Look, we can have differences in what we believe and what others believe. Why don't we just go to the common book, Quran? Here we are. This is the proof. Bring the proof on the table and we will say who is right and who is wrong. So long as you read the Quran the way it's supposed to be read. Right? So, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ رَمَىٰ. When Imam Hussein is summoned by Walid and Marwan in their office to give allegiance to Mal'un Yazid, what does he say? A man like me cannot give allegiance to a man like Yazid. Brothers and sisters, who was uttering that statement? Allah, mashallah. Allah, see, a young boy has already understood the concept. He. You look young anyway. Subhanallah. You know why you say that? Because now you have understood. Assalamu alayka ya Farallah. Peace be upon you, the blood of Allah. Meaning whatever Hussein said and whatever Hussein did was as if Allah was saying it was doing it. When Hussein was going to Karbala, it is Allah who is going to Karbala. Why we say that? How do we prove that also? وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. We made them imams to guide and to do everything by the command of Allah. What is the command of Allah? إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Salawat ala Muhammad wa
Allah. This is
the core discussion of Karbala. Core. Not periphery. We are entering the kernel of the fruit. Or the seed. Not the periphery. This is the core discussion of Karbala. You want to know? People are asking, you know, why did Imam Hassan sign the treaty with Muawiyah and Imam Hussein did not sign the treaty with Yazid? I said, you people have not understood the status of Imams. Why do you think, brothers and sisters, I spent 2 days, 2 nights, building up a foundation to show you the status of the Imams in the eyes of Allah? Right? So I told this person who asked me this question, I said, what if I tell you that it was not Imam Hassan who signed the treaty? It was Allah who signed the treaty. Why? Because look, what do we say? Look. Assalamu alaykum ya Farallah. Wabna, the son of the blood of Allah. Who is Imam Hassan? The brother of the blood of Allah. And the son of the blood of Allah. So it was not Imam Hassan who signed the treaty. He does not do anything except by the command of Allah. As I said, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Now, let's move forward because we don't have much time. There's a lot to discuss, a lot. And tomorrow's verse that I'm going to introduce from Surah Al-Ahzab, it's an amazing verse. It will show you exactly, it will give you the picture of Imam Hussein making his decision. Right in front of your eyes. You will see that Imam Al-Hussein making his decision based on this verse, which I'm going to explain tomorrow. However, there's another thing I want to talk about, and that is the meaning of ziyarat. Now, most of you know the literal meaning of ziyarat. Means visitation. So, we go to the ziyarat of Karbala, Imam Hussein's shrine. We say we're going to visit Al-Imam Al-Hussein, right? This is the common understanding of the meaning of ziyarat. However, let's look at the etymology of the word ziyarat. The root word is zawr, which means to deflect or to draw away from something. To deflect or to draw away from something. You will notice that, correct me if I'm wrong, those who speak Arabic, I was told that last time I said a lot of you speak Arabic and know Arabic, then someone came to draw my attention, very few in this crowd, so I'm sorry for making that statement, but those of you who know Arabic, you will notice that in Arabic, zur also means to lie. Ahsan. See, I have full support. Zur also means to lie. You know why when you lie it is called zur? It's because you deflect from the truth. You see? So the word ziyarat comes from the word zaur, which means to deflect from something. Zur means to lie because the liar deflects from the truth. It's very interesting. And then when you go and do the ziyarat, you will say, you remember Brother Ali who came from New York? He says, wow, now I know why I'm doing the ziyarat of Aba Abdillah. Zaire is the one who does the ziyarat. Why? So what is the meaning of Zaire? The one who does Zaire, the one who does the ziyarat, because he deflects. Let us say, for example, you say, Brother Jawad is going to do the ziyarat of Aba Abdillah. So we say, he is called a Zaire because he deflects from other than Aba Abdillah. He deflects from other than Aba Abdillah. Meaning that when we are doing the ziyarat of Aba Abdillah, we say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. We promise Aba Abdillah that we are going to deflect from all that confronted you. You see? We are deflecting from evil. There is a verse in the Quran, Allah says, فَفِرُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Escape towards Allah. Why would you escape? Can you escape from nothing? No. You have to escape from something. فَفِرُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So Allah is saying, escape towards me. Meaning, tear these curtains of darkness and come towards the light. And this is the meaning of Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how much I can talk about this Quran, this beautiful book of Allah. Everything is tied. You know, people are asking, how can ziyarat be, you know, how can you visit the grave and how can you be praying over the grave of a person? You know, people ask this question. He says, where is your mind? Everything is from the Quran. Allah says, tear the curtains of darkness and come towards the light. Even if you are a believer, you are still in the ignorance stage. You just accepted and brought iman. You haven't purified yourself. So when we do the ziyarat, we say to Aba Abdillah, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Oh Aba Abdillah, I promise that all these curtains of evil, I'm going to tear it away from me and come towards you. Salawat ala Muhammad. It's not a joke. This discussion that we are having is not a joke. I don't know how much to emphasize. When we say Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, let's understand this statement. Peace be upon you, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, Muawiyah used to call himself Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yazid used to call himself Amir al-Mu'mineen. All these illegitimate leaders used to call themselves the commanders of the faithful. And who is the commander of the faithful? The one who goes and chops the heads of people innocently is the commander of the faithful. So one person comes to our 50 imam or 60 imam, I don't remember, and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he admonishes him. He says, do not call me Amir al-Mu'mineen, for no one is happy to be called this title except the one who is prepared to face the punishment of Abu Lahab. He says, then whose title is it? He said, this title only belongs to Amir al-Mu'mineen, my grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salawat ala Muhammad. Amir. Again. Wait. Look at the lexical intricacies. Okay? Very important. One may say, Brother Ali, why are you going into this lexical intricacies? That's the only way to understand these beautiful Arabic expressions. Otherwise, we are just giving literal meanings to sentences and words. We don't even understand. Amir comes from the root word mayor. You know who is a mayor? Is the one who brings you something. A one who brings you something. Originally, it was used. Amir was the one who used to bring fruits to your house as a gift. So, Amir is one who brings something. Ali ibn Abi Talib is titled Amir al-Mu'mineen, a title given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel, informing the Prophet because he brings to the people the special knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad. What is this special knowledge? Have you read Nahjul Balagha? Look what he says. Awwalu din ma'rifata. The foremost in religion is knowing Allah. The perfection of knowing Him is to testify Him. The perfection of testifying Him is to believe in His oneness. The perfection of believing in His oneness is to adhere to Him purely. And the perfection of adhering to Him purely is to deny Him description. For every description testifies that it is different from the one it is attributed to. And the one who is attributed to testifies that it is different from the description itself. Subhanallah. Can you get a knowledge like this? Only from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salawat ala Muhammad. So we say, Assalamu alayka, Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen. When we say, Yabna, the son, right? But actually, it also means in Arabic, the product of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Product. You have a main product and you have a sub-product. If Amir al-Mu'mineen brings a special knowledge about Allah to the people, what is the product supposed to do? He's also supposed to. This is Imam al-Hussein. He's not an ordinary person. That is why he's saying, a man like me can never bear allegiance to a man like Yazid. Inshallah, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. Let's go to Karbala. It is the 8th day of Muharram. Not 8th day here, but I'm referring to the history of Karbala. On the 8th day of Muharram, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is sending a representative to Umar ibn Sa'd. They are already encamped in Karbala. Umar ibn Sa'd has received another contingent of about 20,000 soldiers from Kufa. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad dispatches more soldiers because the information already went to Yazid, to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, sorry, that we have cornered Imam Hussein, al-Hussein. We're not calling him Imam, he said we have cornered Hussein ibn Ali. So more soldiers are sent to Karbala. So Imam al-Hussein, you know, as an Imam, as I mentioned, look at his status. He's a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Tomorrow we're going to talk about the representation of Allah on the earth. For example, if Allah is forgiving and merciful, right? What do you think would be the characteristics of the one who is representing Him? Would it be the same? Not at the absolute level. Don't misunderstand me. But the manifestation of Allah's attributes is in Al-Imam Al-Hussein. That's why we say Al-Imam Al-Hussein is Al-Mujassam Al-Tawheed. Al-Mujassam Al-Quran. He is the walking Quran. So if Allah is Ghafur Rahim, Imam Hussein is still giving these enemies a chance. He says, perchance, maybe they will change. They will think like Hur ibn Yazid. He underwent a transformation, right? I mean, what lesson are we supposed to draw? Remember yesterday, my topic, my lecture was emphasizing and stressing upon looking at our condition. Look at your iman. You all know where your iman is. Maybe not in its real sense, but you have an idea. Look, where do you belong? If today you were present in Karbala, picture yourself, which side would you join? Would you join the side of Yazid? You know, there, by the way, you must have heard this. There are some people, look what they say. They say, why do you people talk so bad about Yazid? They say that. Why do you talk so bad about it? I say, what do you think? Who was Yazid? He was, you know, you should forgive him. He was a good man. I said, even after having killed the grandson, remember, look at my discussion that we have had. The grandson of Rasulullah. Is it something light? No. It's not something light. And then you're saying Yazid was a good man? So which side would you belong to? The side of Yazid, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and Umar ibn Sa'd? Because this is all the work of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, as you know. You know, it's a very scary thought. If our iman is weak, look, in the battle of Ahzab, this is, by the way, the battle of Ahzab, we will talk on the day of Ashura. And that is the reason why we speak about the battle of, we recite the Surah Al-Ahzab on the day of Ashura. In the battle of Ahzab, just to give you an idea, there were people who went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight the disbelievers who joined an alliance with the Christians. You know, Ahzab means alliance, unholy alliance. They had an alliance with the Christians and the Jews from Mecca and around Mecca to fight the Rasulullah, to fight the Prophet. The people who went with the Prophet to engage themselves with this in this battle, they started making excuses. But some of them did not make excuses. Why? Because they did not fear death. So Allah revealed the verse, لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. These are the people who are using the Prophet as their example. Why? Because their iman was good, brothers and sisters. Look, where is our iman? When I mentioned about the benefits of crying, we'll continue that discussion, inshallah, tomorrow. Because today I wanted to stress upon this point about the factor of Imam Hussein's uprising. When I mentioned about crying, if you are crying because Imam Hussein was beheaded, it is good. But your crying should also be focused on the fact that we have committed so much sins, brothers and sisters. So much. These tears should be for yourself. Because Imam Hussein, when he was in Mina before going towards Karbala, as you know, he gave a very eloquent speech in Mina. And he's addressing the leaders. And he's saying to the leaders, he says, where are you today? Where have you been? What about your responsibilities? You have misused your responsibilities. And these enemies think that I'm afraid of death? What did he say? He said, death to the family of the Prophet is like a beautiful necklace on the neck of a young woman. We are not afraid of that. In other words, to them, death is sweeter than honey. So when we cry, brothers and sisters, cry for our sins, please. Cry for our sins. We have committed so much sins. The whole idea of Karbala is to reflect upon these two camps and find out where you belong to. If you belong in the camp of Yazid, then you will be resurrected on the day of judgment with Yazid. How many of you want to do that? If you want to belong to the camp of Imam al-Hussein, then we have to look at the character of the people around, of the character of Imam al-Hussein and the people around him, his loyal companions, and try to draw a lesson from their character. Look at their character. They were generous people. Their iman was strong. Their obedience to Allah was strong. Their obedience to Rasulullah. They did not leave Imam Ali. They say, you are our Wali. Because the Prophet announced you on the day of Ghadir. So Imam sends a representative to Umar ibn Sa'd. He says, my master wants to meet with you. And he agreed. So Imam goes with 20 of his companions, including Hazrat Abbas, who is his brother, and Ali Akbar, his son. And also Umar ibn Sa'd, he also brings 20 of his soldiers, equal, to have this meeting. And when the meeting started, they decided that they don't need all these people around them. So they were remaining with only their close ones, like Imam Hussein was with Hazrat Abbas and his son Ali Akbar, and they're having a meeting. And he says to Umar ibn Sa'd, he says, where is your mind? Who am I? Look at me. Who am I? How can you deny that I am not the son of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah? You know what Umar ibn Sa'd replied? There is a reason why Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, every Friday we read this surah in the second rakat of Namaz al-Jumu'ah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلحكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. Umar ibn Sa'd says that if I leave you alone and if I join you, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad is going to slaughter my family. He's going to take all my property. So Imam al-Hussein is saying that, haven't you read in the Quran? Allah says, a true believer is the one who is ready to sacrifice everything. And he gives this excuse. He says, Ubaydullah ibn Sa'd is going to slaughter my whole family, so I can never join you. And finally, they declare the war. And tonight we are going to talk about Hur ibn Yazid, as I already mentioned before, that he undergoes transformation. Originally he was on the side of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, but he was choosing between hell and heaven. Finally he comes and joins Imam Hussein, and he looks at the character of Imam Hussein, the way he offered him water, the way he told him that of course Allah will forgive you. On what capacity did Imam Hussein say that? Because he's the representative of Allah, brothers and sisters. So Hur joins Imam Hussein, and on the day of when the battle started, you know, in Imam Hussein's small army of 72 faithful companions, Imam Hussein divided them into three groups: the left side, the right side, and the middle. On the left side was Habib ibn Madahir, on the left wing. The middle was his brother Abbas, and the right was Zuhair ibn Qain. So Habib ibn Madahir goes with Hur. He says, let's go and start, because they already started the attack. Imam Hussein said, I will never start the attack. We, the Ahl al-Bayt, we will never be offensive. Let them start. When they started, Hur said, let me go first and fight them. So Habib ibn Masahir gives him the support. But as you know, Hur ibn Yazid, he fights a person who was choosing between hell and heaven. Just a moment ago, he fights gallantly for his master, for the sake of Allah. And the army subdues him. The soldiers of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, Umar ibn Sa'd, subdues him. But when Hur falls down, when his horse is wounded and he falls down, Imam al-Hussein comes to him and says, Ya Hur, you know why your mother named you Hur? Hur means free. Today you are free. And you will be free in the hereafter. Curse me on these enemies. They are fighting against truth. Curse me on them. And Imam Hussein prays to Allah. He says, Oh Allah, accept this soul who joined me later, and still he made the right decision, and grant him your mercy. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulillah. Assalamu alayka ya Ibn Amir al-Mu'minin. Assalamu alayka ya Ibn Fatimah al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa'il Alamin. Madam al-Husayn.